Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He's saying Christ is the Savior of sinners. We'll turn to 1 Timothy, I believe, and read that verse. It's the Word of God that forms the living link. God uses His Word to form a link with our souls. Where Jesus could say, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God." So how important. We'll read in 1 Timothy. See if I can find the verse here. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus could say, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We read in the New Testament about people that were all focused on how good their lives were, but they didn't realize their need, that they were lost. Guilty sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men don't believe that today. Ladies say they don't believe the gospel. They don't understand the gospel. And God's word tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It tells us if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. So men and women and boys and girls today that don't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, if you have never trusted Him, you are lost. But the good news is the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's so important to, I can remember one time I was in the woods and I thought I knew where I was going. And I kept looking for where I was going to and I never got there. Finally, the realization came to me that I was lost. And I had to speak those words to the Lord. I'm lost, and I need to find the way. And it's like that with boys and girls and men and women today. If you don't have the Lord Jesus, you're lost. It tells us in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." There was a captain, an old sea captain, and back in the olden days, they were out on the ship, and this captain was a very ungodly man, and he fell sick, and he realized he was sick and that he might die, thought he was going to die, and so he started asking. He asked his friend, he asked the first mate, I believe it was, how he could be saved. Because he knew he didn't have the Lord. He knew he was going to have to meet God. And the other men on the boat couldn't tell him how to be saved. He said, "Does anyone have a Bible?" And they said, "Oh, there's a little boy. There was a boy that worked on that ship." They said, his name was Willie Pratt, I believe, and he said, "Willie had a Bible. I saw him reading it." So they called for Willie. Willie came to the captain. And captain said, "I hear you have a Bible, Willie. Can you tell me how to be saved?" Willie gave him this verse in Isaiah 53. Said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And Willie said, "My mother told me it's okay if I put my name in there. He was wounded for Willie Pratt's transgression." And read the verse and he put in his own name. He was wounded for Willie Pratt's transgressions. He was wounded, bruised for Willie Pratt's iniquities. And captain said, put your captain's name in there. And because salvation is a very personal thing. It's one thing to know about it and another thing to make it personal, have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. So that little boy said he was wounded for Captain Clout's transgressions. He was bruised for Captain Clout's iniquities. He put his captain's name in there. And his captain believed the Lord Jesus and put his personal faith in the Lord Jesus. When he passed out of this world, he went from this world of sin and sorrow that we live in, went into the presence of a loving Savior, a Savior that died on Calvary's cross, that each one here could be saved. When I looked around at the start of the meeting, I mentioned in there that I would speak to the children, and I saw only, I didn't see many children, but I want to say this, that if you were the only boy or girl in this whole wide world, or man and woman in this whole wide world, Brother Lundeen made the comment once, he said, if you were the only sinner in this whole wide world, Jesus would have come to die for you. He loves each one. He loves all of us in this room. But he loves me and he loves you. It's a personal thing. Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the kind of Savior it is. We sometimes sing in the meeting, what wondrous cause could move thy heart to take on thee our curse and smart, well knowing we should ever be so cold, so negligent to thee. You know that the Lord Jesus knew all the bad things that I ever did. He knew all the bad things that you ever did before he went to that cross, and he loved us anyway, and he gave himself for us. That's the kind of Savior that we have. He's a all the way home Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He'll never let you down. I'll tell another story. I'm going to tell a story this time about a dog. Maybe some of you have dogs. I have a dog at home. This dog was a rescue dog. And he would go and rescue people that were lost in the snow. He was a big St. Bernard. Well, I kind of told the end of the story already, but there was a man that was hiking in Switzerland years ago, and he was headed off to his destination, and a terrible snowstorm hit. And he could see snow coming down all around him, and pretty soon, if you've ever been in a bad snowstorm, I know you don't have much of it down here, so some of you may not know what it's like, but when the snow comes down really hard, pretty soon you look around and all you see is white. Even though you knew where you were going, or you thought you knew when you started out, you can't find your way, and you get lost. So this man, he became confused, and he was lost in the snow, didn't know what to do. But he kept going. And if you're in your sins, don't keep going in your sins. But stop. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But this man kept going, even though he couldn't see where he's going. But all of a sudden, he saw something coming through the snow. It was a big animal. He didn't know what it was. And it was coming right toward him. This man had a gun on him, and so he took that gun and he pointed it right at that animal and he pulled the trigger. And he shot that animal, and he thought, well, now I killed that wild animal. At least I don't have to worry about that anymore. Then all of a sudden he saw some men coming right behind where the wild animal had come through the snow. And they were coming there, and they gave him some warm clothing, and they had come to rescue him. They were looking for people lost in the snow. And they came and rescued him. But he noticed they were very sad. And he asked those men, he said, what's the matter? Why are you sad? They took him over. And there, laying in the snow, was this beautiful big St. Bernard. The very dog that came to save his life and rescue him, that man had shot and killed. And that man found out. He went up to that dog and he put his arms around that dog and he gave that dog a hug. But let me tell you something more sad than that, and that is that the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, came into this world because he knew that without him we would pass into a lost eternity. The Bible tells us that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Yes, hell is real. Hell was not prepared for boys and girls and men and women. The Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his evil way. So God warns us with his word. There's warnings in this book. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus and his finished work. God has faithfully warned us. Everyone here in this room, I'm sure, has heard the gospel before. Some of us have met moms and dads that have told us of the Lord Jesus. But we've all heard it. And what have we done with it? When the Lord Jesus came into this world, sinners like you and me took the very one that made them, the very one that loved them with a perfect love, the one that had stretched forth his hands and touched the leper and caused the lame to walk, given sight to the blind, the one that took up little children in his arms and blessed them. He was the very one that the Lord Jesus, that men, the Lord Jesus Christ, men nailed him to the cross. Let's read a few verses in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 27, I believe it is. After 32 years here in this world, Lord Jesus, he knew what it was. You know, maybe there's someone here that's passing through trial and you think no one understands. But the Lord Jesus knew what it was to face misunderstanding. He knew what it was to be misunderstood by his own parents. Maybe some here may feel that their parents don't fully understand them. I know that's what I thought when I was little. My mom and dad didn't really, sometimes I would think they didn't understand what it was like when they tell me to do something that I didn't understand. But, you know, the Lord Jesus, his parents misunderstood him when he went to the temple and he was talking. They said, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" They didn't fully understand the Lord Jesus. He knew what it was to be misunderstood. And when he grew up, and he would do some work of kindness, they would find fault. That's the kind of world we live in. You can do acts of wickedness and they'll look up to you. But if you're walking in humility, laying aside all that you would do for the approval of men, then you will find that the world misunderstands you. If you live to please, if you live to the glory of God, let me reword that, then you will be misunderstood by this world. And the Lord Jesus, everything he did, he could say, "I do always those things that please the Father." He lived to the glory of God. And the result was he was misunderstood. And he could say, they hated him without a cause. Another place he could say that he had done among them the works which none other man did. And yet, they hated him because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Well, let's read a few verses. Well, to keep the meeting short, we'll start with Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Everyone here needs to stop and think about that. What shall I do then with Jesus? It is our privilege either to honor Him by receiving Him as our Savior and living by His grace to His glory and honor. Or if you reject Him, someday you will regret it. It's a fatal decision to reject the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, turn ye, why will ye die? Why will ye die? You know, the man that I told about in the story, when he found out that that dog had come to rescue him, he put his arms around the dog. But you know, there's many that have not put their arms around the Lord Jesus, but He's despised and rejected. And it's a sad thing, because He came in love. He came for your blessing, for your good. But if you don't receive Him, the very best gift you could ever receive from the very God that loves you so much that He's given heaven's best, is the very thing that you'll be judged for. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. It says, he that believeth not is condemned already. And it says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So, we read the verse earlier. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape, but there's no need to perish. We were sitting in a meeting here this morning, and I looked up and I saw this verse on the wall. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no need to perish, because Jesus on Calvary's cross bore the punishment that we deserved. The Bible tells us about what men and women did to the Lord Jesus. We'll just read a few verses. First of all, they said, let Him be crucified. Then it says, they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe, verse 28. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon Him. And after that, they had mocked Him. Are you afraid people would laugh at you if you became a Christian? I remember, and you know, not only boys and girls, but even grown men, sometimes we worry what people will think about us. The Lord Jesus allowed His creature to heap every insult upon Him. He says in Isaiah 50, it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Why did He do that? Because He loved me and He loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross, and there in those 3 hours of darkness, He bore the sins of everyone that will trust Him, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus loved me, and He loved you, and He died for us, that we might be saved. He could say, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. All this world is looking for life. They want abundant life, but they don't want the life that God is giving. Come, for angel hosts are musing o'er this sight, so strangely sad. God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. Quoted that verse already. Why will you die? That's the kind of hearts we have. Those very ones that said, let Him be crucified, were the very ones that the Lord Jesus died for. we were to turn over to Luke's gospel, we know that there is a robber. There were two robbers on that cross that were nailed up there right on side, right alongside the Lord Jesus. Two thieves were crucified with the Lord Jesus. But it tells us that the thieves also that were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. In other words, those very men with their very life sapping out of them, they were deriding the Lord Jesus. How sad, but it's really a picture of my heart and of every sinner's heart. When we read these verses of what happened to the Lord Jesus, this is a picture of man's heart told out. Man that was given every privilege, every breath you take, everything that we have is a gift from God. It says in the book of Daniel, Daniel spoke it to the one of the kings. He said, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified?" And that's what's characteristic of men and women and boys and girls today. They haven't glorified God. Instead, we're living in a world where everybody's living to glorify themselves, living to please themselves, and leaving God out. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How is your life? Is it lived? The hymn we sing speaks about a life worth living. That's the only life worth living, is a life that's lived for the glory and honor of God. But we're thankful that there was one that always lived to the glory of God, who could say, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And that was the Lord Jesus. Here we've read what man did to him. But you know, God's plan was, it tells us in 1 John, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So you have this morning in the meeting about Joseph, how his father sent Joseph to bless the brethren, and how those brethren saw him a long way off, and they were planning and scheming to destroy Joseph. They misunderstood it. He could say afterwards to him, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And so I'm privileged today to say that this Jesus, this one whom men and women nailed to the cross, this one who allowed his creature to take his hands and put those nails through and nail him to that cross of wood, that one whose hands were stretched forth in love, is the very one that came for me and for you. Is it nothing to all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, for with the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. So we're going to speak about something else. God loved you and loved me, but how could God have guilty sinners in his presence? And we just talked about how guilty we are, how bad we are, if our sins were so bad that the Lord Jesus was put on a cross there by his creature. But you know, God was above all man's sin. You know, sometimes my little girl's done something this disobedient or destructful. I should say destructive. And the Lord has enabled me that I've been able to maybe fix something that was broken, and in the process fix it better than it was in the first place. But you know, there's much failure with anything I would do, but a God that is perfect and loves sinners perfectly, it wants to pick up boys and girls and men and women that are ruined with sin and bring us into a place, we who were once far off, guilty, ruined, deserving nothing but hell. His desire is to pick us up and bring us near to himself. Bring us into a place of blessing. Like the hymn says, "And now my famished soul is fed. A feast of love for me is spread." I feed upon the children's bread, O Lamb of God in need. So God doesn't want to just have us made better from our sins and then go on and do whatever we wanted to do. But no, He desires to bring us into a place of nearness and blessing, to have a personal relationship with Him and make us members, make us a part of His own family, enjoy fellowship with Him. And that's the only thing that can really bring true joy and happiness for us. It's not, we think, I know when I was little, I thought, well, if I could just do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, have whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, well, I'd be happy. You know, I got older and pretty soon I started getting some of those things that I wanted, and I started being able to do some of those things that I wanted when I wanted, and you know, it still didn't make me fully happy. There was something missing. But you know, it tells us in Psalms that He satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. And it tells us in Psalm 16 that in Thy presence is fullness of joy, at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I want to say that I can't stand up here and brag that I'm some big, strong Christian and I really go on with the Lord, because I have to confess that there's much failure in my walk. But I want to say that there's a Savior and there's no failure with Him. He faileth not. And hymn writer could say, eternally His promise stands. My name is graven on His hands. Let all around my soul give way. He still abides my lasting stay. He is faithful. The man in the story I told you about that shot the dog, he couldn't ever have a relationship with that dog. He shot the dog, and that was it. But the Lord Jesus is risen on high in the glory, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He's a living, coming Savior, and He might come today. Mm-hmm. We look for Him. He says, surely I come quickly. Are you ready? If you know the Lord Jesus, it's going to be fullness of joy for you. At Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. But if you don't know Him, then your portion is with the devil and his angels, in that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, place of sorrow and torment. But God's purpose, His desire, tells us God will have all men. I mean, that means He desires to have all men to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. The gospel goes forth to whosoever will. It's not just good people, because there really aren't any good people. There's people that think they're pretty good, but if they ever got in the presence of God, they find out that they're not really so good as they thought. Because the Bible tells us there's none good. No, not one. We know that the Lord Jesus, He is the only perfect one. But when it comes to just men and women and boys and girls, we're all, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I've spoken longer than I thought I would speak, but I just want to go on to say that in those 3 hours of darkness, you know, first man had his chance. Man had his chance to get his hands on the Son of God. And he did all the bad that he could do. But you know, God had bigger purposes. And His desire was to do all the good that He could do for you and for me, in spite of all our guilt. His grace is greater than all of our guilt. And so God, the very worst thing His creature did was nail God's Son to that cross and misuse His Son and dishonor His Son. But God turned that very act around and opened the door so that whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord may be saved. And the guilty may draw nigh, though vile they need not fear, because the Lord Jesus has met the claims of a righteous, holy God. In those 3 hours of darkness, it tells us from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. till about the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God have to punish him? We mentioned those verses in Isaiah where it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. There's a hymn we sometimes sing that's, on Jesus, God's just vengeance fell, which would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place. Yes, the Lord Jesus, during those 3 hours of darkness, it tells us that God laid on him, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore the punishment that you deserved and that I deserved. All those sins that would have put me into a lost eternity, God's beloved Son took care of them there on Calvary's cross. In spite of all my waywardness, in spite of the greatness of what I've done against God, He has come out in grace, reached out to me and to you, so that we can come into fullest blessing. What can I say? There is nothing more that God can do. He's done His very best. Apostle Paul could write, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now all you have to do is receive it. There was a man that came to our door bringing a gift. It wasn't actually my door, but it was the door of my mother's house when I was there just this past week. And my mind was kind of blank, and he dropped off this gift real quick, and he was walking away. And I said, thank you, and I'm trying to think of a verse. And then I said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, amen. And he continued on his way. Well, I hope that he knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But there is no gift greater than what God has already done. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God could not do more than he's already done. Does it mean anything to you? That's the question now. What shall I do then with Jesus? We know what our sins caused to happen to him. But you know, it's a personal thing. We each personally need to trust the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'll tell another story for the sake of the children. This is a story about some boys and girls. One boy, one girl, and their dad. This happened in Washington State. It's another story about snow. This was many years ago, and I was still a kid. These people were up hiking on Mount Rainier. It was Memorial Day weekend. And with a father and his two children. And they're hiking up to a place called Camp Muir. And as they went up, the weather turned bad. On that mountain, it's a very high elevation. And the weather, when you're up in the high elevation, the weather can change suddenly. You can start out sunny, and so you're hiking in shorts and t-shirts. I don't know what they had on this time. But the father was familiar with the outdoors, so he did know some things. But the weather up there is very, when the wind starts blowing and the precipitation comes down, it's very treacherous. In a matter of moments, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time hiking in the mountains, and I know how quick that weather can change. Matter of fact, me and my wife went up there hiking in shorts on a beautiful sunny day and had the weather turn cold, and in a matter of minutes, my fingers were so numb I couldn't put the warmer clothing on. So it's very dangerous. It can be if you're not prepared. But this father was going up there and they're having a nice time, and then the weather turned bad and he began to urge his children on because he knew that there was this place called Camp Muir where there was a shelter made up there. I believe it's made out of stone. And when this storm, when that mountain, when the weather pours out its fury on that mountain, if you're inside that shelter, you are safe. So he knew if he could get to that shelter, the kids would be safe and he would be safe. But you know, during that trip, pretty soon it came down so fast that he knew they couldn't make it. So he and his boy began frantically digging a snow cave in the side of the mountain into the deep snow. And it's not an easy task. You think about making a snow cave, well, that'd be easy. But I have tried it before, and it's a lot of work. But they were able to make a small snow cave. And he placed his little girl and his little boy in that snow cave. And he wasn't quite able to fit all the way in himself. But he crawled in as best he could. And he protected him. He protected those children from the storm of that mountain. And that storm and all its fury poured out on that mountain. And those little children were safe there in that mountain, under the snow, because the Father placed himself between the storm and them. And you know, that man knew the Lord. We know the details of the story because the boy and the girl lived. And they were told to get in that cave and to stay in that cave until help came. And they did what their dad asked them to do. It's very important, boys and girls, that you mind your mom and dad, because they love you and they want to protect you from many things. And the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents. And these children did what they were told. They stayed in there until they were safe. And then they sang hymns while they were in there. The dad had been to Navigators. He was a true believer. And he learned lots of Bible verses and he had taught them to his children. And they said Bible verses and they gave them comfort. They sang the Sunday school songs they had learned together. There, trapped in that snow cave. You know, after a while, there was only two voices because the dad had gone to be with the Lord Jesus. That storm took its toll on his body. He died from that storm. But they were there, just two little ones. Or I say little ones, but they were children. But they were there safe on the mountain. But they had the Lord with them. And I want to say that if you know the Lord Jesus, He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how desperate the situation, you can always call to Him for help. No matter how bad it is. No matter how much it may even be your fault, you can still call to Him and He'll still help you. He's still there, still wants the very best for you. After, I believe it was 3 days. First there was a bad storm, but I could be wrong. But they were there for several days, there in that snow cave. And then the rescuers came and rescued those children. They were brought back to safety. The Bible tells us a man shall be a hiding place from the wind, from the tempest. It's in Isaiah. I can't put my finger on the verse. Maybe somebody here knows where that verse is. A man shall be as a hiding place. Might be good to look at that. But I just want to say that the Lord Jesus, when He died on Calvary's cross, He made the way that He could be your hiding place and my hiding place. There, in those 3 hours of darkness, when He bore the judgment that we deserved, tells us in Isaiah 53, He had poured out His soul unto death. He became the hiding place so that we might not have to face the storm of God's wrath, that wrath that we deserved. He gave his very life, we might be saved. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's what we deserve, was to be condemned. But that the world, through him, might be saved. Have you put your trust in that hiding place? The obedience of faith, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God hasn't asked us to do something hard, simply to believe and live. Put our trust in him. And you'll never, that's one decision you'll never be sorry for. I've made some poor decisions in my life, and some of them I've been sorry for afterwards. But that's one thing that you'll never be sorry for. You've never met, Brother Hale could say, I've never met a man that lived for God, and at the end of his life, he said he was sorry he did it. No, you won't meet one. Nor will you meet anyone that ever came to the Lord Jesus, and at the end of their life says that they're sorry they did. No, that won't happen. Because it's the only life worth living is a life with the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. It's the only life worth living is for His glory and honor. He's the only one that can give you the power to walk His glory and honor. You can't turn over a new leaf first and try to do good things first and then come to Him. You have to come just as you are. Then He will enable you to live the life. Anyone find that verse?
32,
chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, thank you.
Verse 2.
Isaiah 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as a cover, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. That work that He did is sufficient to cover all the sins of every guilty sinner in this whole world, would they but believe it. We sing a hymn, God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. You can be satisfied if you come in simplicity and receive Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The verse up here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hymn writer could say, the tempest awful voice was heard, O Christ, it broke on thee. Thy open bosom was my ward. It bore the storm for me. Can you say that? What the Lord Jesus has done. God is satisfied. God has been glorified by that work that the Lord Jesus did. He's raised up His own Son so that you and I can come into blessing. Are you satisfied? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God has made full provision. There's no reason for any to die. No reason for any to perish without Christ. I'll tell another story real quick. Was a man. He was up in the woods somewhere up north. I believe it was Canada or Alaska somewhere. And they had lots of wild animals where he lived up where that area. And he was alone, and it got dark, and he was way out in the woods. And he knew that if he could get a nice big fire going, that he would have somewhat of a deterrence to the wild animals around him. And so But he had only 3 matches. So he took very carefully and he struck the match. Well, if you've ever tried to light a fire, you know that sometimes a match will break or it'll just go poof and it'll go out, especially if there's any wind. It just blows the match out. So he took that first match and he carefully struck it and went out. And he carefully took the second one and he struck that one. Tried to light the fire, and just then a little puff of wind came in, blew it out. And then he had only one match left. And he carefully struck that one in. Ever so carefully he shielded that little match and he touched it down there and that fire started up burning and he had that assurance that he was safe from those wild animals. And that's a little gospel tract, and what it illustrates is the Bible tells us that God speaks once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. We don't know. That man knew he had three matches. We don't know how many chances we have. We just know. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So how important to make full use of the opportunity we know we have. Because it might be the last chance. Does someone have a hymn we could sing?